always running into a stranger, dirty jeans and a redhead in the auto parts store, firecrackers and day-old cotton candy. Sometimes you have to get away from the word to figure it out just that much more. Intuitive reasoning can be as much bullshit as bullshit can sometimes be intuitive reasoning. I came up the three-lane divided highway and noticed that the roadway was backlogged quite a ways, with no way to escape. I had to approach the traffic jam and look around my car for a good tape backup to let the minutes float that I was going to be in this jam. Looking to see the focal point of the jam, I notices a slew of cop cars on a two-lane divided roadway below that was barricaded off by a city block in either direction. What the hell is going on here? I kept inching forward in this 9:30 a.m. snail traffic in a town resembling Baltimore. I was in a short compact car along the same lines as the one I drive now. Coming closer, I was trying to figure what could have happened. 18-wheeler spinning out of control and throwing pogo sticks from its cargo bin, a nasty fender bender, chemical spill, or the other. Getting closer, I notice a pedestrian that is dressed in undercover garb going car to car, reaching his head in and talking briefly. The heads in the cars ahead would nod in a no each time. Coming towards my car, he leans forward and looks about my car while saying, "Hello, sir, I come back with a hey, what's going on?" He returns, "Well, we have a situation up here and it may take a while for you to get through. How can I help you?" I ask, "Can you identify the woman in this photograph?" He asks me. I take the black and white photo of a naked black woman straddling a traffic barrier. The photo was an aerial taken about 15 feet over her head. "No, I've never seen her in my life. So, what's going on?" I ask again, "Sir, this woman climbed onto a traffic barrier up ahead, causing some serious trauma to innocent motorists and perhaps one fatality. That's awful, man. What do you suppose she was doing?" I inquire, "Sir, I must move on. Have a nice day." He concludes. I move forward and think more about this naked woman that caused Highway 76 hell and halting. When you have nothing to give, you better find something to give. You wanna see nuts? I got some nuts for ya. How will the dream begin? Do you remember how dreams begin? Had a dream the other night that I woke up with a tattoo from the top of my shoulder blade down to my wrist, went to sleep with nothing on my arm and no intention of getting the permanent color thrown on my arm, and woke up with something. Two, people were asking me where I got the tattoo and why I did it, told them I wasn't sure, and was thinking about a painless way that I could take the tattoo away. Yet, when that one dream went into the next, it didn't mean much more than a bunch of ink on an arm in a dram that was going to evaporate once the sunshine cut in. So, I was living in this complex in New York. There was a courtyard or concrete stretch of walk separating one building from the other. They had just painted this partition and it was very cold out. There was a nice frieze of ice between the buildings. They painted the connector sky blue, and when I walked outside, I ran into a neighbor that looked like Robin Williams. There was a Zamboni machine ready to clean the ice as I started on a walk with this R. Williams character. He told me he was an orthodontist and worked in City Hall. He pointed out the building that looked very municipal and governmental. As I looked at the skyline of buildings, everything looked very much so like it was Parisian. I asked him, "Besides the World Trade Center site over there to the left, what else was a landmark I could tell people about that was around my new residence in New York?" He said, "Tornadoes." I laughed and told him that I was from the Midwest and asked if he had ever seen a tornado in his life. He said no, but it would be a fucking great indicator of where you live if it happened. Shadows move in overparked cars, like potential acts in a spray can. People wait in bars for something to happen because something already did happen to them. Ashing in a Coke bottle as the hospital cuts another umbilical cord. I wonder if America will ever get over Vietnam. Making something that is natural happen takes practice. Oh, making the extraordinary happen takes fucking guts. Everyone is a walking quote. It amazes me that every day we produce so much literature and pages to read, and a slew of adults in this country don't know how to read and write. A grease spot on the road, driveway or parking lot is just a car's blood. Have you ever considered that there is nothing on TV for a reason? Sometimes you only know what's right when someone says that it's wrong. Your posture speaks more or your structure than maybe you would believe. Somewhere else over the rainbow there is probably another rainbow. The moment of comedy is the fool's best mistake. Finance ministers and the price they're not willing to pay. Blue Jay voices echoing loud because people have their TV sets on loud. The thing about writing more is that there is going to be much, much more to write. Evening showers are like morning blowjobs. You know why you feel good as you should. You just wonder how it got to be that way. Curling smoke and the book I don't want to write because everyone these days seems to want to write or be working on that side project, the book. No, I just want it to be a collection of pages that make up a story, because we all have stories and the quote is the axe in the wood. So, as the midwife wakes from a dream that won't quite do what it was cracked up, she grabs the stack of papers on her nightstand that say divorce and runs along with her new version of a constitution. Vivid tales of being underwater, found some nuclear warheads. The guide leading me to see the site was pretty upset about the turn of events. There was a little blood, then a smile. It was over in a short quip of time. Then, we had the investigation right where we wanted it. Sure, illegal nuclear armaments under the water and the feds were on their way to clean up the site. Plastic punching tubes and kids go together so well. The minute the drummer figures out the roll, the baker will throw his first dozen plus in the oven. X-Acto knives cutting open the secret letter as the mystery man takes the beauty by the hand, leading her out of the passenger side of the running car. We're all accidental cases with familiar faces. Did you used to be a stick? I always see this image of a tree when I talk to you. Every time I balance my checkbook or sit down to write out a fuckload of bills, I feel like someone just tagged me in the mouth, took my money from my sweaty palms, ran off and I had no way to find them. The dream happened again last night. Each time it occurs, it feels as though I have had the dream many, many fucking times. So, I'm loafing around the apartment with friends of my roommate. I start looking around, feeling slightly constricted by the lack of open spaces, just longing to see a new set of surroundings. Then it hits me, the other living room. Sure as shit, there is always this living room area that I never go into, but once I look at it, it makes sense. The room usually has several glasses of bourbon half full on a circa 1960s kitchenette table. The room has the old fatigues of a girlfriend's grandparent's place, crystal chandeliers, green shag carpeting, at least one felt painting of dogs, playing poker or sailing shit, getting the fun knocked out of it on the open, raging sea. So, once I see this room I think, fuck right, why have I neglected this room in the years and years I have lived in that dwelling? When I see the room, I remember it, yet, I don't go into this room until I close my eyes and things start poking me under and over the eyelids. A nice room, great old turntable and a shitload of vinyl to pick through. It's like inventing something that has already been invented, yet you didn't know it's already been invented. But it's alright because you still invented something in that curious corner of ignorance. So this room is your room. Use it. I may not know about it for a long, long time. Was sitting up at the counter of a sleek cafe in a tired town. Ordered a nice breakfast. Remember my navy blue coat hanging on the back of the chair. I smoke a smoke. Got my food. Got up to go to the bathroom. When I came back, an insane woman was in the process of moving my plate, ashtray, cigarettes, lighter and coffee mug 3 seats away from her. As I come back, I don't say a fucking word. I look at her with a fucking lady eyebrow. She starts staring into my shit. You dumb motherfucker. This is my seat. You should have known this. Never, ever sit in my seat again for as long as you live. Ugly ass. Dumb motherfucker. She keeps on as I grab my coat hard from the back of my former chair and feel bits of bagel being thrown at me. I brush it off, don't acknowledge here any more than a glare or some thoughtful stares. The woman behind the counter, Marjorie, gets her to calm down. I pull my lips to the mug, looking for the spit wad, see nothing, Take the cup up to my lips and think about how much syrup you would need for the world's largest pancake. Waiting for the roof to cave in as the sky flashes a sinister smile, Miles Davis is rapper, yes baby, flipping and floundering like a flop, kids grabbing our colors as the grown UPS pop some more popcorn. When did the pop icon finally decide to fold? Wrap the butt into a sack, sling it over shit, smack your hips, run W/thighs and leap over a wall, jump a brook and piss in that crystal clear stream. If there was any more that had to be said, it would have been said long before anyone presumed that anything had to be said at all. Designer hats and shitty looking pants, the ice swallowed dryness and the clouds became your only lie as the chime strangled the crank arm and the night begged to add more light. This self-promotion shit is like cleaning my apartment. It gets clean, it briefly feels good, it gets dirty all over again, that's regular. The old man still won't talk to me. He told me on September 11th 01 he thought he would never talk to me again. Point is, sometimes people walk the plank. They try to avoid even when cutting off their feet despite their shoes, smell of rocks and clean water as the west waves in the east's moonlight and we just forgot about the Midwest. New ways to take pictures of an old forgotten city, giving out good books to a girl who has a crush on me. Mashing the potato for a lasting goodness, banking my savings account for something good that happened yesterday. I think when they start making you nuts, you love them. A world in war is a page in content flux. Yesterday, November 30th, 2001, is one that should be committed to page, with a page and as the page moves through the ringer, I give you the parts as I recall from yesterday, waking from a good eve of sleep after depriving myself for some days, I waked to a message from a friend wanting to get a cup of coffee before going into work. He gives me a nondescript location and leaves it at that. I throw on some threads and head out the door to try and find where he is. Past several midtown coffee houses, I don't see his car. I don't stop at any of them. I just go into a quick trip and get a to-go slug of brown morning love, make a call on a payphone after getting a page. Some teacher wants to take a tour of a computer warehouse and wants to know if I'll give it the okay. I resign back to the wheel to get into work. I work on a piece for the kids, pieces, parts and particulars of letters they wrote to the president of the US. Then, the kids start coming in for a computer class I chaperone in the afternoon. It's a course where they put together their own computer and take it home. Pretty good eats for a group of kids that need the technological beast. So, the kids show, the bus driver shows, we ready to go as I get another page. Oh, earlier in the day while putting together pieces of presidential inquiries, I notice that Beatle George Harrison has died at 58 after a battle with throat cancer. He was always my favorite power Beatle, the glue that held the group together. Turned on the lab TV to see a little biography on the chap. Then, earlier in the day I noticed a replica of a bald eagle gliding on the air. Over an overpass, I stare closely at it, veering over the yellow center line thinking about my pops. So, back to the page in the afternoon hour, I get the kids to the location in the west bottoms of the city for their class and call my mail to check the page. It's my sister. My dad has had another heart attack. He was coming back from Leavenworth, stopped at a gas station. Someone found him out cold by the rear of his car on the ground. He had no vitals or pulse. Bessie told the gas station attendant when he arrived that he thought he was having a heart attack and that they should call an ambulance. So, they did and the paramedics brought his flesh back into the physical world. Suppose he left for some time. After the call, I was waiting for my relief to show up to the warehouse so that I could go to the emergency room of the hospital in the northern part of town. It was about 4 p.m. at the time and the guy to relieve me was to be there around the 5 o'clock hour. Oh, the hitch was that he wouldn't be able to get into the building after 5 because they were going to close the doors, lock the gates and shut off the lights promptly at 5, meaning that no one could come through and we wouldn't be able to hear a horn honk or knock on the second floor of this old-ass warehouse. So, 5 comes and goes. I resigned to the fact that I'll have to be there for another hour and a half, as I go to check the window for signs of his long, red hoodie mobile. I see nothing as the instructor for the class shouts that I should take them down into the bowels of the first floor so the kids can get their snack on, while we tool around with used old computer equipment. I'm jacking with the kids, just biding my time until we can leave and I can see what's going on with my dad. Then suddenly, the lights, power and entire show blow in the building. The kids start getting restless and horsing around as the executive director comes out of his office with a flashlight, followed shortly thereafter by our instructor with another flashlight in hand. They poke around with the power box on the wall and decide that we would end the class. The instructor asks me if that's okay and if I could call the bus driver back to pick up the kids. I say fuck right and climb the dark steps to the telephone, thinking how damn convenient is this. So, I get the bus driver on his way back to the building when we go outside to see my relief in the back parking lot. I tell him what's going down with my pops and that I have to leave promptly. He said yes and told me about a good rock show he was going to see that night. I climb in the car, look over the steering wheel to see a full moon glowing in the sky, knowing that again the moon has a way of catching you in the trajectory and questioning its motions a bit more past the tide of the ocean. I head towards the hospital thinking about some things I have said to my father and what he has said to me. Lately we haven't said much to each other, a combination of the recent terrorist attacks on America, the new war, and some other splices of news he fails to let anyone know about verbally. So, I go in for the second chance in a book of chances to clutch his grip and let him know that he's in the right place, a place called life, and it will stay that way for a while as the moon moved further up in the sky. Guess my niece predicted there was going to be a full moon all week leading up to this Friday. Shit, kids have a way of knowing the truth well before the adults have a chance to guess at it. Several more dreams from the log of I Am Ages. Was going down a sidewalk in a town that was familiar, yet, it wasn't a place that I resided in. I start approaching a group of people on the flanks looking at a ferocious gorilla swaying back and forth. No one would walk any further. They were all avoiding the stare, stance and gait of this enormous animal. Seemed as though a house on this block kept the gorilla as a pet and a sign in the front yard said do not approach gorilla. Danger. So, my curiosity and instincts took over. I heard a voice in my head say move through the animal. I broke through the crowd, came towards the gorilla and locked it straight in the eye. The animal sidestepped and let me past. I lightly brushed against the animal, not fearing the animal. Actually, I was intrigued and felt all right being that close. As soon as I passed, I turned to look at the animal. I was looking at its back. It was crouched in an offense position, giving everyone else the fuck you eye if you try to come anywhere near the gorilla. I just kept going on up the sidewalk. The second dream was me walking up towards a bluff somewhere in upstate New York. Looked like the ascending plot where the Hollywood sign is in CA. So, I approached the bluff, walked by some souvenir shops, heard silence from the people. It was an elaborate memorial to the September 11th infamy already erected. I walked and plotted with tears. Then, I snapped from out of sleep and had tears coming out of my eyes. Thought, this can't be hurting anyone. I wiped several away, went back towards another newer dream with either cold beers or hot corned beef. I didn't run into neither if memory serves me right, shooting the pen through the arrow, knocking the tune out of the pair's seedy middle, completion of the incomplete as the tiny girl pulls the tall cold glass of milk to her lips as mother dodges a Scud missile in an Arabian township hard to pronounce, carry me over the pinky nails. Sharp edge and I'll ward off the fun when it starts giving you shit, veering cars and the old bars, comes down to a wet mouth and reliable wheels. Sometimes, on a drive down the road with my brother, we were heading towards LA, he had an apartment solidified in the hills and I was thinking about living with him or in an apartment around him in the same complex until I could find a job and get shit going in the land of angels. So, we pull towards the place expecting either a mountain shot or butte shot. Also, we assumed the ocean would be within a rock's throw, so, We pull up to the place. Looked like a 6-8 plex with light brown siding and beige trim. The building was in the shape of a crooked L and followed the flow of a creaky bend in the road. We pull into the back lot. Our reason for arriving was to get with the landlady of the house, a cookie fucking burned out actress turned TV junkie that bought the right infomercial gag which advertised swallowing up dilapidated property and renting them to the public for cash and shit. Yes, he was going to check him room out one more time and make sure he dug the place. There's always a discrepancy between actually seeing a place and getting the full 3G online illustrated tutorial. So, if he dug the place, he was going to ink him name on the official papers and move out to LA. We climb out of the cars and get up near the complex. He notices no office sign, so my brother remembers her apartment number and we head towards the door. We didn't knock. For some reason, we switched towards the back of her apartment, which happened to have a back deck with a sliding door. This faced the curvy roadway that shaped this little home. By the by, the apartment was a secluded place. The place was in a valley within LA County, but plenty away from the city and smog. So, we approached the back door and gave a good knock. A man, we presumed the husband, got up from the bed to click the lock back and let us through. I noticed a TV on and quickly off as the landlady turned the tube down. I couldn't shake the image of a tuna fish salad sandwich on the table next to her. So, she comes to the door. Both of them look slightly out of sorts and agitated. Likely they got up from a nap and he was getting an earful of shit about how he doesn't go down on her anymore. She shouts through the glass, "Who are you?" My brother says, "Tony from Missouri." "Oh yes, you were to look at apartment 1G today?" So, she opens the glass sliding door and tells us that the maid for the complex is temporarily using the room, so we can't take a look at the digs, although she tells us that we can check out the apartment across the hallway. We agree. She throws on some slippers and grabs an enormous silver ring with at least 90 keys dangling. We head downstairs. There are two stairways, the open sort, that descend facing each other. So, we get down to floor 1 and she points over towards the apartment her maid is staying in. "That one will be yours if you like the looks of this room. You know, they all have the same layout." Sure, we tell her. So, she opens the door and peers back with a queer look. "Hold on," she tells us, "give me a second, then I'll wave you in." She continues, "Well," as she pulls the door closed we hear her shriek as the husband suddenly appears coming down the steps behind us. The landlady stumbles out of the front door and towards her husband. I notice she is faint and has two bloody puncture wounds on the right side of her neck. Some kind of shit is going down. We look around as she is in her husband's grasp. He mutters, "This would have never happened if you didn't have to see the room today. Fucking shit." We start thinking, these cats are out of their shit. As we start shuffling back towards the stairway, car, another complex in LA, the man comes towards us with a glare of hate. Then, my lover's boy leaped on my piss-filled bladder and woke me up. LA is kinda have to wait. Sometimes women get you where the IRS missed.